Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, a review management software for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews. You can check that out at getreviewrobin.com. Now, our guest today is Amy Meester, who is the CEO of Madison Taylor Marketing. Amy has broad experience in marketing strategy and operational execution with success in implementing strategic organizational initiatives. Her ability to turn organizational goals into reality has been recognized by clientele over the years. Thanks so much for joining us today, Amy.
Thank you so much for having me.
So let's dive into a couple questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit. So tell us, where are you tuning in from today?
Just outside of Denver, Colorado, where it is currently snowing.
Very nice. And I can see that snow in the background. I can relate. And so what would you say really motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
Oh, that's a really good question. And I think that it changes for me in terms of just the seasons of my life, as well as kind of where we're at with things. And I think that a lot of entrepreneurs can relate to that over the last couple of years in terms of shifting mindsets and shifting motivation. I think that some days it's literally just, I got to get out of bed. And like, what motivates you to get out of bed and do the hard things? And then I think that there's other days where you're incredibly motivated by big vision and long-term goals and initiatives. At least that's true for me. It definitely depends on the day. I think what also just inspires me is just, I want to do good work and I want to do work that matters. And so as long as that is at the center of everything that I do, I find that very, motivating.
Yes. Yeah. I love that. I agree. And then how did you get into digital marketing?
So my career actually started on the more traditional side of marketing way back in the day, and was highly focused in media and advertising initiatives. And then when you know Facebook hit the scene, I think primarily it really changed the ecosystem within marketing. And so I started to switch over to the digital side, and we still do. Full service, both traditional and digital. But obviously it's a lot more digital than it was back in the day.
Yep.
And the shift was just the ability to have a lot of oversight and a lot of insights and data into what you were doing, which was definitely not the case a million years ago.
Yes, absolutely. I know it's pretty incredible to see how digital marketing has evolved over the years. And it's cool to really have been experiencing that journey firsthand.
Yeah, even working with some of the MarTech that is so just everywhere today, like Adobe yeah. Suite or HubSpot or Marketo. Back in the day when that was just starting, it was so groundbreaking and it was so exciting to see those things go from popping a disk into your computer to these subscription models and just the access to information and the access to tools has just been so fun to be a part of.
I know. I still have my Adobe discs. I was like, I think I purchased like the last ones and I literally still have them in my office.
They'll be worth money someday, I'm sure.
They're collector's items now.
Exactly.
So tell us about Madison Taylor Marketing, why you made the decision to start the agency.
So I was working on the other side of the agency world. I was captive. I was in-house. And that's where I began my career. And then 2008 hit, and the entire world kind of shifted and changed. And I was working for some tech organizations and I got laid off once. And then I found a new job. 6 months later, I was laid off again. And so I took that to really be the universe or a higher power telling me that my dream of starting an agency, it was kind of time for me to do that. And so I did. I just started as consulting with local contacts and relationships that I had, and moved that in 2012 to a full service agency model. But it was really just this desire to do things differently. Because they came from the other side and I worked with agencies, I had a lot of pain points that I think that most people have when working with an agency. And there was a lot of things where I was like, man, this could be done so differently. This could be done better. You could forge better partnerships with clients just by, you know, changing the way that you do things very slightly. Mm-hmm. And that was really fun for me to do as part of this, you know, out of a horrible experience of being laid off twice in a year. That was not fun. But it was so exciting to be able to take that experience and take that moment and the opportunity to kind of take a step back and build something for myself and for our now employees and our clients that's a little bit different.
That's awesome. So yeah. And I think that ability to just see, you know, this isn't working, I've got this opportunity, and then act on that opportunity is just such a crucial quality to have in an entrepreneur, and just being able to, you know, think fast and pivot accordingly. So yeah, that's really interesting. And so what are some of those ways that you're setting yourselves apart from the agencies that you used to work for?
You know, it's so funny. I don't think that anything is groundbreaking. I think that it's things that everybody knows, and it's just putting them into place and putting them into practice. I think a lot of it is just very obvious, like have transparency with your clients. I think that is number one way that we differentiate, is how we work with our clients and how transparent we are. If we screw up, then we own it. We own it and we make it right immediately. There's no place for us to hide behind in terms of data, in terms of reporting. Our clients own every single ounce of reporting. We do not send modified reporting like other agencies do. Everything is direct. And then we add, you know, narrative around it, and here's why it matters, and, you know, the context into the reporting. And we'll review that with our clients, but it goes directly to them. It is not something that we touch. And I think that clients really appreciate that. The other side of the transparency is just transparency in billing. That was a huge frustration that I had on the other side, was not understanding what things would cost, or thinking that I understood what things would cost, and then getting to the end of the project and the bill ballooned by 50%. That was a huge frustration for us. And so we don't do any hourly billing. Everything is project based. You know exactly what you're going to get. If we start to go out of scope, we tell you immediately, yes, we can do that, but it's going to cost this much more. Are you sure you want to move forward? And it is in writing, and you know what you're paying for as part of that cost. Because at the end of the day, our partners are responsible for the budgets, and they're also responsible for proving the value. And if we're able to just do, you know, simple things like, you know, give them full access to their reporting, that level of trust that we're able to develop is much different. And then they're able to go and look like rock stars to their boards or their leadership team, without having this kind of conversation where it's like, oops, we went over budget. I told you that I only needed this, and now actually I need, you know, $50,000 more. So it's very, I think, intuitive things like that we do a little bit differently. And I think that it's also just having fun, and being, what's the word I'm looking for? Approachable. I think that sometimes marketing can seem really big, and it's filled with all of these acronyms and these complex thoughts and ideas. And I think that if we're able to make that approachable for our clients and for the rest of their organization, in terms of this is what we're doing, this is why we're doing it, this is how this is impacting the organization, it just makes it so much more approachable, and people want to work with people like that. They don't want to work with people that make it hard. I mean, after all, we are doing marketing and advertising. This should be fun. This is not life or death situations here. I don't know why, you know, marketers have a tendency to make things so incredibly complicated and hard to just wrap your head around. It's really not that difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a very historically a high stress job. A lot of digital marketers, you know, they're just like run off their feet. You see that in the movies, the advertising executives, they just look so stressed out. But yeah, it's definitely good to take a step back, put things in perspective. Of course, you know, be really serious about your job, but also, you know, don't take yourself too seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are the biggest challenges that you encounter on a day-to-day basis?
I think as marketers as a whole, one of our biggest challenges is just the speed at which things are changing. You know, just going back to even just the way that software it has changed over the last 10 years.
Yeah.
There's a really great example of that. And then, especially in digital, things change very, very quickly. Google's algorithm changes. I think last year it had 1,200 updates. That's a lot to keep up with. And so I think that that is the biggest challenge that from just from an industry perspective is a challenge. I think that it does a good job though of weeding out people who just don't thrive in that type of environment. Mm-hmm. I think that the people who are really, really good marketers, they are able to be agile and make changes very, very quickly. And so while it's a curse, it's also a little bit of a blessing. And in my opinion, it keeps things fun. It keeps things dynamic. And you know, it's like they say about the weather, you know, if you just don't like it in Colorado, wait a few minutes and it'll change. That's how marketing is too. If you don't like something, just wait a few minutes and it'll change.
Exactly. So how do you stay up to date and be constantly educating yourself and staying up with current trends and updates?
I employ a team that is fantastic and is really good about doing those things. We also have implemented things like getting even better time is what we call it, where every Friday afternoon we stop our billables. Like, right, we're not working on any client work. And it's all just for us to dig in, see what's happening, see what's trending. And then obviously if something really big happens, then that we were not expecting, like when, you know, WordPress put out their Gutenberg release and it, you know, ruined websites across the world, you know, we have to kind of make changes in the moment and be able to address that. But typically we set aside time for us to do that. And then there is an expectation and a culture in our agency that every single time we do something, we have to get a little bit better. And so in order for us to do that, we have to be just continually learning and continually seeing what else is out there and how things are iterating and really be on top of it in the moment, because every single month our goal is to do better.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. That's awesome. So I'd love to pick your brain on sales a little bit. So do you have any tips for proactively bringing in new leads to your agency and then closing those leads?
Yes. So we don't do sales in our agency. We say that we do partnerships, and we are very selective in terms of the clients that we take on, because we want to make sure that it's a long-term partnership and that we're going to be very effective for them and that there'll be a good fit for us too. It is very expensive to onboard a new client, as all of your listeners should know. Mm-hmm. And so we are very selective in that process. I think that the tips that I would have is find good referral partners, people in your sphere that are really good at making introductions and are working with the types of clients that you want to work with, and forge relationships there so that you can get really good referrals. Those are going to be your top performing leads and clients, hands down. Other thing to think, we do some advertising, but primarily it's just community partnerships and relationships. We've grown primarily just by word of mouth and referrals. And then in terms of closing those, again, transparency, just be honest. And we take an approach of just educating our clients. And so we'll say, like, here's the goal that you are trying to work towards. Here's how we would approach it. And sometimes that's a fit and sometimes it's not, but we're very honest in terms of the way that we would approach things and what we think would be the best path forward. So that once we do onboard them, they know exactly what they're going to get.
Awesome. And then in those early days, how did you get those first few clients?
All relationships that I had. I was very fortunate in that I had met as part of my career, and I'd worked with somebody who was very, very smart, was actually a Harvard business graduate, and I could never afford to have any consulting hours. And I met with him and I had a coffee with him, and he goes, "You just need to go and ask." And he goes, "You'd be surprised that people want to help you. And you shouldn't be afraid to ask for help from your community and the people that you've worked with. You've done a good job. So just go and ask." And so I did. And I just, you know, reached out to my network and said, "Hey, I'm starting consulting. Please keep me in mind if you have any needs for this in the future. This is kind of what I do." I had a lot of coffees, just introducing myself in the new capacity, and then from there it started to grow, which was really awesome. I think that you just always have to like remember that there's always never burn any bridges, and always just be thinking of, you know, maintaining that integrity, because you never know when somebody is going to be an important part of your journey.
Absolutely. And how do you continually build your network and just keep getting your name out there more and more?
Again, we have a lot of community partnerships. You know, like the Colorado Technology Association, for example, we're active with the startup community here. So the business community we're really involved with. LinkedIn is a great resource for just reaching out to the clients that you want, and shooting your shot, as we say internally, and saying, "Hey, I think you're awesome and what you're doing is awesome, and we would love to be able to help you further that journey." And so we still do the same thing, which is just reach out and say, "Hi, this is who we are. This is what we do. And we would love to start a conversation with you." And sometimes that it doesn't go anywhere. And people are very honest and they're like, "Hey, we have an agency that we love, but thank you for reaching out." And so we always say, like, the worst thing that anybody can say is no. And so let's very just true. Start these conversations.
Yeah. Awesome. So what has been the biggest overall challenge you've had to overcome while growing your agency?
I think that the biggest obstacle has probably been setting the vision and then working towards that every day, because I think that it's very easy for us to get bogged down in the day to day and what needs to happen in this moment for us to continue to operate, and what does this client need, and what does this staff need. And so it's really easy just to get focused on the day to day. I think that it's difficult to look forward and say, "Okay, I need to start looking ahead a year, 3 years, 5 years from now," and really starting to implement that into the culture and the day-to-day activities. That has been that was a really big challenge. And I think it's a continued challenge that we just, you know, deal with. And sometimes it's, you know, forced by different members of my team to kind of help me refocus and be like, "Okay, you gotta look up, you know, stop going to head down in everything and start looking forward and looking ahead towards some of these bigger vision goals that we have."
How do you prioritize your time so you ensure that that doesn't slip through the cracks?
I am a little type A, and I have found that I love a schedule. If it does not live on my calendar, it doesn't exist. And so if you look at my calendar, I have items for like eat lunch, like very specifically, like don't forget to eat lunch. And so I have found that by just building it into my schedule and just having a very segmented time where I'm working on different things works really, really well for me. If I don't do that, then I tend to forget things and it just falls out of my brain. And then I just focus on, you know, whatever is in front of me. And so by having those segmented hours of the week works really, really well for me.
Yeah. Otherwise the day kind of runs you instead of you running the day, right? You just are in reactive mode all day long. Yeah.
Yep.
So do you have any tips for being more efficient and productive throughout the day?
We use Asana for our project management as a team. And we are all about efficiency. So we also do a lot of time tracking and things like that within Asana. I think that, again, for me, it's just being very intentional and focused. I think that we have a tendency as people to try to multitask. And if you can just like focus for 15 minutes on one thing without interactions, then tends to be a lot faster. It'll take you 15 minutes instead of 45. And so again, back to my calendar, is everything is on there and everything has a time limit. And then that is my focus for that specific time. I've also learned how to do like do not disturb on my phone, which I don't know if I could take off now. I would probably have to have my son help me. But anytime I am booked on my calendar, my phone won't ring. And so I don't have outside distractions. So I can really be focused in terms of what I'm doing. And that has helped incredibly with my efficiency. And it's something that we've implemented with the rest of the organization to help with some efficiencies. And then technology is incredible for just gaining efficiencies. And so on a quarterly basis, we'll go in and we'll audit everything in Asana and say, okay, like, where are there opportunities that we could deploy technology to help us work better, work faster, have more insight and transparency for our clients? Like, you know, how can we use technology better? We look at that on a quarterly basis, and we've identified some specific tools that have been just fantastic in terms of moving things a little bit faster, or doing things better. Sometimes it's not faster, it's just better.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's really interesting. So what software has been critical for helping streamline your agency or operations?
Asana. Thank God. Asana. Every day. Every day. It really is a fantastic project management tool. I think Asana would probably be top of my list. We are also a HubSpot agency. We've fully drank the Kool-Aid. You know, we've worked within all the other ones like Parda and Marketo. But I think that from a one-stop shop for a lot of digital marketing for all of our clients is incredibly effective and efficient for us. It also gives you just a level of insight and transparency. There's that word again, for our clients. And so we really do love working within HubSpot. I think Canva has been a newer one that's really cool that some of our staff is enjoying. I know it goes outside of the traditional Adobe suite, which we still use, but Canva has been a new one that has been getting some good chatter here.
Yeah. I love Canva.
Yeah. People love it.
Yeah. I was all about the Adobe suite, and then I discovered Canva, and yeah, it's so awesome. It's such a time saver.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. So we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but is there anything else that you would like to add that you feel would be helpful, just a learning experience you've learned along the way that you would like to share with other entrepreneurs running an agency?
Oh, that's such a good question. I think that something that I wish that I learned earlier was to trust yourself. There's going to be a lot of people with a lot of opinions on how you should do things and how you should run your business and how you should interact with your staff. And I think that for me, I was trying to like take all of these different ideas and all of these different things that people with really good intentions were trying to give me. And I didn't listen to myself in a couple of really key situations. And I wish that I would have. Those were some hard lessons that I had to learn where I'm like, I know what I'm doing. And I need to trust myself and I need to trust that instinct and the vision that I have for the organization. And that is really hard to do when you are an entrepreneur and you're in early in your journey. There was this comic once that I saw that was so funny because it was a day in the life of an entrepreneur. And it was like 8:05. Everything is awesome. Today is going to be a great day. I'm so excited. And then it was like 9:02. The world is ending. Everything is horrible. I am horrible at everything. Everything sucks. And then it's like 11:02. Okay, everything's moving. Like, we're good. Like, let's keep going. And it was so true to like the emotional roller coaster that you go through as part of that journey. And I think that for me, it was like just this realization that I wasn't alone as part of that, where it was like, okay, other people feel this way too. It's not just me and everything is going to be okay. Like, we're going to keep going. So I think that those would be the two things, is just trust yourself and then trust that you're not the only one going through this. There is a community out there that you can talk to and that you can have conversations with, and they'll be like, yeah, I did that. And, or yeah, like I screwed that up really bad back in the day.
Yeah.
Everybody goes through that. And I think that just knowing that there's a tribe of people out there experiencing the same things that you do, it was so comforting to me, where I just didn't feel as alone, because I think that sometimes And as an entrepreneur, you can feel very, very much alone, and you don't want to share those vulnerabilities because you think that it makes you seem like you're not doing a good job. Whereas everybody goes through them. Everybody is experiencing the same thing. Even if you're an entrepreneur and you've been, I have a contact and a client and a really good friend who has been doing this, and this is his fourth company that he started. And mm-hmm. so he's been an entrepreneur for 40 years, and he's like, it still doesn't get any easier. And he's built giant businesses that have gone to IPO. Like, mm-hmm. and so it's really just cool to be like, oh, okay. Like,
you can still relate on the same
level. Exactly. Yeah. 40 years in, we're still in the same place. That comic is still relevant. It's still ups and downs.
Yeah.
And I think that just having that knowledge makes me feel better, at least.
Yeah, absolutely. I know I can relate to that. Absolutely. Entrepreneurship is 100% an emotional roller coaster at times. And, but at the same time, it's so rewarding. So those difficult times, the positives definitely outweigh the negatives. So
yeah.
Where do you see Madison Taylor Marketing in 5 years' time?
Oh, the goal is in the next 5 years that we have an office in Ireland. That is the next big jump. So hopefully we'll have a team on the other side of the pond, as they say.
Why did you choose Ireland to be the location for your next office?
So we have some international clients that we work with that it would be a really great kind of in-between place. Mm-hmm. Plus, who doesn't love Ireland?
Yeah, so beautiful. Okay, I was curious. That's awesome. Very exciting. Well, we're going to begin wrapping up here, but first we have the Fast Five, which are five rapid fire questions. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
Simon Sinek, Start With Why. Anybody and everybody should read that book or do the audiobook. Simon reads it. It's on Audible. Check it out. I'm reading right now The Right of a Lifetime, which is Bob Iger. And I look up to him so incredibly much for the work that he has done for Disney, so incredibly much. That was really eloquent, but he's awesome. And the work that he has done for the Disney organization is incredible. I'm also a really big nerd, and I love Harry Potter. Love Harry Potter.
And what does your morning routine look like?
Copious amounts of coffee. And every day when I get ready, I listen to either an audiobook or a podcast. I have Alexa in my bathroom on my kitchen counter. And so every morning it starts with something. The BBC has a quick, like 15 minute, like what is happening around the world. And I try to catch that just so I can stay up on what's happening in current events.
Yeah, it's moving quick out there.
Moving. And then some days when it's a little, it's a little scary going on outside, then I'll listen to Harry Potter as an audiobook and, lighten it up just a little bit.
That's awesome. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
100% Bob Iger. I think everybody loves what Steve Jobs was able to accomplish and I think that Bob Iger is in that same echelon of leader, but he's done it with such grace and humility that I think that Steve Jobs never had. And so I think that he's a really excellent balance. I also think Elon Musk is just, he's incredibly direct. And I think that I appreciate that. And a lot of people do. And
yeah,
again, incredible visionary. And he's also really funny. If you actually like follow him on Twitter and stuff, he's a little crazy, but he's funny.
Yeah. And I know being more direct is something, it can be a learned skill too. You know, it's not something that necessarily comes natural to everyone. That's something I know personally I have work to improve on because I think it's just, it can help boost productivity so much as an entrepreneur when you're just more direct.
Absolutely. And he's done things where it's like, he was like, why are we not on track? And they were like, well, because we can't get people working 24 hours a day. And he was like, well, then let's change that. And in 24 hours, he hired something like 1800 people. Like it was just the amount of stuff that he just gets through is just amazing. And it is, it's so direct. And he just like doesn't adhere to what everybody else says or does, which I think is just awesome.
Yeah. I know. I was just in awe whenever the president or the prime minister of Ukraine tweeted him about internet connection in Ukraine. And he was just like, that afternoon, he was like, on it, like, done, you've got internet access for the entire country now, just like that. So it's so crazy and inspiring.
It really is. I love that he just like, he gets things done. I think is one of, that's what I'm like getting at, is he just gets it done.
Yeah.
And that's amazing.
Totally. Love it. And then, so what is your favorite online tool?
Asana.
Alrighty. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
That people are going to be mean for no reason and not everybody's going to like you and that you should not take that personally. I think Brene Brown said you should care what people think, but only the people whose opinions matter. Mm-hmm. And that was a really hard lesson for me to learn early in my career, is not to take things personally and to select from my people, my husband, my children, my family, people that I really respect their opinions and value those opinions, but really not let other people's view of what I'm doing or how I did something really impact my view of myself or impact how I'm moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's kind of nice to just like reframe how you perceive that as well, because at the end of the day, they're doing you a favor. They're giving you a tougher skin, you know, mm-hmm. and you can't take it personal. You just got to keep doing your thing and keep running your business.
There's always going to be critics.
Yes, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Amy. It was a pleasure to have you on the podcast and I really enjoyed listening to your story.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.